This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
Hey, I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty.
We're Armstrong and Getty.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
How about something about a comedic tone?
We have a winner.
Yes. Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Final hour of the Jesse Kelly Show on an amazing Thursday as we roll into Independence Day weekend. A weekend full of fireworks in America and wieners and mac and cheese and all kinds of the delicious American stuff. So let's talk about the parliamentarian. Why do we have to hear about this person? What's going on there? Let's talk about, well, joining the military, hunting, fishing with your sons, all that, so much more coming up in the final hour of the Jesse Kelly Show this week. Now let's do this one. Jesse, can you please explain what is all this parliamentarian nonsense? What is it about? How can they do? Okay, so obviously this is kind of null and void now. Because the bill, the big beautiful bill is already passed and you know it's going to be law and all that stuff. But remember we had a conversation, let's just recap this conversation again, about why we didn't need 60 votes in the Senate. Remember, in the United States of America, and we really want it to be this way, if you want to pass a law, you can't get 51 votes in the Senate. That's not how it works. Laws are supposed to be difficult to pass. Remember that. You need 60 votes in the Senate. But when does either party have 60 votes in the Senate? It's not very, we never see that anymore. So they've kind of found kind of a sketchy workaround. I'll use that term, a sketchy workaround. And the sketchy workaround is this. It's not really a new law. We're just kind of making a couple little adjustments here and little adjustments there. But you see, if you do that, no, you don't have to get to 60 votes. You only need 51 votes. But you don't get to just say, oh, it's not a new law. There are a list of rules you have to follow. You can do this. You can't do that. If you do this, it becomes a new law. You need 60 votes if you do that. And the parliamentarian, this is where this person comes into play. I'm not going to get into all the boring, brutally boring background of this position and everything else, but I will just simply make this little note on it. The parliamentarian who kind of gives the yay or nay on this stuff, serves at the pleasure of the Senate Majority Leader. Meaning, whenever there's a Senate Majority Leader, if he wants that person fired and replaced, he can choose to do so. And we have had the same one for 13 years, since 2012. Maybe you're angry right now, and you shouldn't be because tomorrow's an Independence Day, but maybe you're wondering, well, where the heck is John Thune? Remember that conversation we had? I think it was first hour, maybe second hour of the show, about how there's a 10 to 15 person red state cabal of GOP senators who always keep their foot in the door so it can't slam all the way shut on American communism. That's John Thune. John Thune's another one of these red state senators who knows how to say all the right things when he's back home campaigning, knows how to sound like the most right-wing person when it comes to an election year every 6 years, all over the television set. He's a big fundraiser. all over the television set with fancy ad after fancy ad. I love my guns. I love the border wall. I'm so right wing. I love Trump. Bah, bah, bah. And then spends the next 4 or 5 years filling up the swamp. Lindsey Graham does it too. John Cornyn does it too. Mike Rounds. These red state senators, they do this. And we're changing that. That's the good news. We are changing that. But that's how it's always gone. You know what's amazing is this is one of the first times in recent memory that I've seen it isn't working for John Cornyn. Because John Cornyn thought he was going to run the same playbook that John Thune runs and Lindsey Graham runs and all these other people run. And that playbook is, I have 6 years in between elections, so I'll take four of those years. I'll take four of those years and I'll keep my foot in the door to make sure communism can filter through. But then I understand I'm going to have to run for re-election in a very red state who's not going to like that. So I'll just do what's always worked. I'll take $50 million and buy a bunch of television ads and tell people how much I love Trump and how right-wing I am. And then, of course, the idiot GOP primary voter in the red state, they'll run to the polls and they'll vote for me like they've always done. Only John Cornyn appears to be the one who's going to find out the GOP primary voter is changing. Changing, waking up, getting more involved. He's getting smashed so badly right now, I'm almost positive he's simply going to drop out of the race before he gets curb stomped in the election. Why? The GOP primary voter remembered when John Cornyn screwed him badly after the Uvalde school shooting. After that horrible school shooting in Uvalde, the communists did what they've always done. And they decided to grab guns. You know, they didn't care about dead kids. It's not that. Communists always want to take your guns away. They hate that you have guns because they want to hurt you. They want the power to hurt you. They hate that they can't just hurt you. It drives them crazy. If you could hold down a communist and give him some truth serum, he would tell you that confiscating your guns is more important to him than any other issue. Because they just want to hurt you. When you don't do what you're supposed to, they want to hurt you, and your guns keep them from that. And so, of course, they used another school shooting. They stood on the dead bodies of children, and they said, got to do something about the guns, the guns, the guns. And Mitch McConnell turned to who? John Cornyn, to work with the Democrats on gun control legislation. John Cornyn from Texas. John Cornyn, the Texas senator, worked on gun control and got gun control passed. But if I have to make an excuse for him, it's always worked in the past. You could do whatever you wanted in the off years to the GOP primary voter, and that idiot will still go vote for you every single primary. I saw him on the television. He said he's going to build the wall. No more. John Cornyn showed up at a big GOP event in Texas. This was, I would guess, 6 months after that gun control vote. I'm guessing on that. That's not exact. Big old GOP event. They started handing out these John Cornyn lanyards. Now, these are all GOPers. These are the GOP primary voters. Someone took a picture of the trash can. You can just see this online. Virtually every lanyard was in the trash. They took off their John Cornyn lanyard as soon as they handed them out and chucked them right in the garbage can. Then he got up on stage and he got booed off stage. But it's always worked. That's always worked. Protect the swamp, protect the swamp, protect the swamp. Use election year to act like you're going to drain it. Then you go right back to protecting the swamp. Oracle, do you hunt with your sons? After not hunting when losing my father 7 years ago, I feel obligated to take my 14-year-old soon. My boys and I, we went fishing with Grandpa. That was the thing. My dad was just the ultimate outdoorsman, hunting, fishing. That was his thing. He loved it. Even when I hated it as a kid, my dad's dragging me out of bed at 4 a.m. and we're going into the mountains freezing to death looking for deer. That was my dad. And so he started taking the boys with me. Obviously, I've done a ton of it, fishing and stuff like that. They had never done any big game. They still have not done any big game hunting, but They just recently, so sad, right before he died, they said, hey, I want to go kill a deer. I think I'm ready. I'm going to go hunting. I'm going to go kill a deer. And then we went on that final fishing trip, and my dad died the next day. But the answer to your question is no. But I really, if I'm being honest, I feel obligated now to take them because he's not there to take them. And when your son says he wants to go kill a deer, well, you got to go kill a deer with your dad. You can't go kill a deer with anybody else. You got to go kill a deer with your dad. And then I'm going to absolutely die laughing watching them try to field dress that daggone thing the same way my dad sat there and laughed at me when I tried the first time on my first kill, which is an antelope. I'm going to sit there and laugh at them. Don't get me wrong. I'll show them how. And then I'll sit there and snicker as they're trying to take his guts out and everything. Sorry, I realize I just grossed out a bunch of you animal lover freaks, but there's nothing I can do about it. All right, someone wants to join the military. We'll talk about that. We're going to talk about the president, the budget. Can he edit it? Can he fix it? Someone wants to know, well, you know, I'll get to that in just a minute. Before I get to that, let me save you a little bit of money here. You already know about the Byrna pistol launchers, non-lethal launchers. You know they're carried by SWAT teams across the country. Cops want a non-lethal option, obviously. Security firms across the country carry these things. But they're available for you and they're available for me. You do not need a permit. You do not need a background check. You can go hold one right now if you have a sportsman's warehouse or something like that in your area. And these things will stop a bad man from hurting you. They will incapacitate. The tear gas rounds are brutal. He'll live, you'll live, and you won't go to jail. BYRNA, Byrna.com right now, during the month of July, 10% off. You need to have one of these in your purse, in your car, in your bedside drawer. It'll save your life one day. BYRNA, Byrna.com. We'll be back.
The Jesse Kelly Show. On air and online at jessekellyshow.com.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. A wonderful, wonderful Thursday right before Independence Day. I am so excited. There's no heaviness tonight on the show.
It is as heavy as 10 boxes that you might be moving.
No, we're just doing Ask Dr. Jesse questions and we're celebrating America, baby. Let's do some more of these. Jesse, I come to you and ask for advice on how to best prepare myself to enter the military. You mentioned in passing once that the reason why you joined the Marines was to mature yourself or grow up, and I've been thinking along those same lines. I've been thinking of joining the Navy, specifically, hopefully the SEALs. Do I need to start a workout routine or maybe pick up some chalk? Any advice would be appreciated. All right. So, first, I'm not a Navy SEAL, so I can't give you specific instructions on being a Navy SEAL. But I will say this. You need to get yourself in shape before boot camp. Before boot camp. And I don't know what kind of a pipeline program they have now to go right from boot camp into the SEALs. And I don't know that because it's usually changing. For instance, the Green Berets, I know this, you used to have to be in for a while before they would allow you to come be a Green Beret. They thought they needed guys with more maturity. They didn't want 18, 19-year-olds in there. They just didn't have any desire for that. They wanted you to be at least be in your 20s, that kind of thing. But I know that they're always trying to fill quotas, and I know they're always trying to adjust things. And I believe, do not quote me on this, you'll have to ask your recruiter, there is more of a pipeline program now to go be a Navy SEAL. That's fine. That's great. Good for you. If that is your plan, you had better show up in elite shape. You don't show up to get in shape. You show up in elite shape, and even then, your body will be broken down. And remember what BK has told us, because he is one of those guys. I'm not one of those guys. I was a grunt Marine. It's a 4-year grunt Marine, but BK is one of those guys. And he said, if you think you're going to try to make it in, you're not going to make it. You are going to want to die. There are going to be multiple times where you feel like you're going to die. They're going to make it so you feel like you're going to freeze to death. They're going to make you so miserable and in so much pain and so tired that if quitting is an option for you in your mind, you will quit. You will. 75% dropout rate for a reason. Most people quit. And the dropout rate is even worse when it's cold because they have different times. If you go into the mentality that you would go in with the mentality that you would rather die than quit, you will make it. Most people do not have that mentality, and that's very understandable. I'm not criticizing you if maybe you tried it and failed. Most people don't have that mentality. It has to be, no, I'll die or I'll be a Navy SEAL. If that's your mentality, you'll be fine. But either way, show up in elite shape. And if I may, I certainly understand the appeal of being a Navy SEAL. I do. And Lord knows they have some of the best PR in human history. There's how many Navy SEAL books, and there's Navy SEAL TV shows and movies, and I get all that, and all that, and I get all that, but all that stuff's warranted. But if just being a super soldier, special operations, super ninja type, remember that every branch has that. And as much as I love to make fun of the Air Force PJs are every bit Navy SEALs. In the Army, Special Forces, the Green Berets, bad dudes. In the Marines, they're always changing the name, but it's back to being Marine Raiders, which is what it should be, because that's really freaking cool. You want to be a Marine and then have like a Special Operations Navy SEAL type Marine? Marines have that too. The other branches have that kind of thing too, but if it's Navy, if that's your thing, if you're a water person, that is one other little disclaimer I will put on there. How comfortable are you in the water, under the water? Navy SEALs, I know it sounds like an obvious point, but a lot of people don't really get this. Navy SEALs exist in and around the water, and they are going to ensure that you are unbelievably comfortable in the water or that you quit. The guys, you know who makes the Navy SEALs a lot? Surfers. You know that? Surfers. So every, and I know if you're not a surfer, maybe you're dismissive of that. You think they're maybe just a bunch of potheads, basically skateboarders on the water. Every surfer I've ever known had basically 8-pack abs. They were in incredible shape. They swam like fish. They were very, very, very comfortable in and around the water. And that's a big thing because they're going to make you feel like you're going to drown there too. You're going to spend a lot of time in the ocean, in the pool, under the water, water in your nose, in your eyes. What, Chris? Yeah, what Chris said sounds fun. But that's the thing. They're trying to make you quit. They want to see if you will quit. The goal is to weed out anybody who might quit, and so they try to make you quit. I watched some documentary on him one time, and this is a fairly new one. The guys, they were on the beach, and they were doing some brutally long run, and I forget, I think they were carrying their boats or something like that, and the guys were all dying, and the instructor was driving behind them in a truck, telling them, hey, your mommy's waiting for you, a nice warm bed. Don't you want a hot meal? You don't want to be here. And I know that's funny to watch, but believe me, that sounds real appealing after the skin on your heel is worn off and you're freezing to death and stuff like that. They're going to try to make you quit. All right? There. Now, I'm going to talk to you about ZipRecruiter because finding good people is very, very difficult. I know it is. I know how many turds are out there in the workforce. I've heard every horror story you can imagine by my friends who can't find somebody good. I know. So why don't you go to the place where all the good people are? ZipRecruiter has matching technology that will find you the best people instantly. 80% of employers find somebody good on the first day. You're sitting there on month number three trying to find that perfect assistant manager. They're at ZipRecruiter. Go to ZipRecruiter.com/Jesse. Try it for free. ZipRecruiter.com/Jesse. We'll be back.
Jesse Kelly returns. Next.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
Hey, I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty.
We're Armstrong and Getty.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
How about something about a comedic tone?
We have a winner.
Yes. Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
2026 marks the 250th anniversary of America. The soul of this country is found in the stories of those who defended it. I'm J.R. Martinez, a U.S. Army veteran. I know that true valor isn't just a word. It's a choice made in a split second. That's why I'm honored to bring you a brand new season of Medal of Honor Stories of Courage from Pushkin Industries and iHeart Podcast. You'll fly into the heart of a rescue mission with Air Force pilot James Fleming in Vietnam.
I'm going to put you out in the middle of hell. If you have to come home, I'll bring you home. That's my duty. It's my honor.
We'll also travel back to 1926 to witness Richard Byrd's historic flight over the North Pole. These are more than just stories of combat. They are testaments to leadership, community, and the human spirit. Listen to Medal of Honor on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Turn that off, Chris. Gosh, that's terrible. Why would you do that going into an Independence Day? You know what I need? I need an American song going into Independence Day.
Ay, 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 ay. I am the Frito Bandito. Hey, I like Fritos corn chips. I love them, I do. I want Fritos corn chips. I'll get them from you. Ay, 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 ay. Oh, I am the Frito Bandito. Give me Fritos corn chips and I'll be your friend. The Frito Bandito, you must not offend. Munch, munch, munch a bunch of Fritos.
Absolutely.
You know, freedom is not free.
Hey, Jesse, we all love Hillsdale College. If they asked you to deliver a college course, what subject would you feel most comfortable presenting? Really, any of them, honestly. What, Chris? No, hear me out. There's something I've learned in my 43 years on this planet, and that's that there's no substitute for confidence. You just get up there and just work your way through it. Don't doubt yourself. Hey, Jesse, can you teach some advanced chemistry? Oh, of course. No problem. I'll figure it out. How hard can it be to read that table thing? Chris, what's that table thing cost? The thing? Yes, the periodic table. Exactly. How hard can that be to read it? It's a bunch of letters. Anybody can read that. Can't the president veto any budget knowing he has at least 34 senators who will not override his veto? No. No. Listen. All right. So let's explain this, because I know there are a bunch of happy people and sad people about the bill, the big, beautiful bill as it's been branded. Okay. Yeah. Like I said, there's good things in it. A lot more money for ICE. Okay. There's good things in it. There's all kinds of really bad things in it. It's terrible. So that's good and it's bad. But it's up to Congress to write this. The president doesn't write it, is not allowed to write it. He doesn't have a line item veto on it. Now, I'm not completely excusing Trump from any responsibility for it, because he does have the bully pulpit and he was trying to whip votes for it. But allow me to use this as an example, because it's a perfect example. Trump, as I told you from the very beginning, he wants his campaign promises fulfilled. He gets one bill. Virtually every president gets one bill. After that, the House changes hands, blah, 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 blah. You generally don't get two. You get one bill. Trump viewed this as his one shot for no taxes on tips, more money for deportations. So Trump, from the second they rolled this thing out, was saying, just pass it, just pass it, just pass it, just pass it. And he was threatening everyone who didn't like it. Well, the bill, as bad as it really is, it's way better now than what it was originally, because the hard right people in the House, in the Senate, started chopping a lot of the bad stuff out of it. So the bill got better and better and better and better and better and changed a lot while as we went on. But Donald Trump never stopped trying to just get it passed. He just said, just pass it, just pass it. Okay, but we changed this, whatever, pass it, but we changed that. Fine, pass it, pass it, pass it, because he's not writing it. He's the president. He wants to do certain things, and the things he wanted done, he had them put it in the bill, and then the dirty scumbags in Congress started adding a bunch of corruption and fraud to it, and he wasn't going to let that stop him from getting his one bill passed. It was his one chance. It's not that I'm making an excuse, but it really is an excuse. It's an explanation. He has one shot at it. Just pass it, whatever it is. Doesn't want to major on the minor. Pass the bill. We'll figure it out. And he's going to get more leeway and probably deserves more leeway when you hear things like this.
This is better than expected?
Yeah, Sarah, it is. Look, this jobs market is like the Energizer Bunny. Every single time we expect it to run out of steam, it just keeps going and going. So these new numbers show that the U.S. economy added 147,000 jobs in June. That was well ahead of the expectation of about 118,000, well ahead of some whispers that we heard on Wall Street of a sub 100,000 number. So this is indeed beating expectations. We were also expecting a slowdown. We did not get that. This is basically in line with May, which was revised higher. It's also good news. The unemployment rate was expected to go up. It didn't. It went down to 4.1%. That is a very healthy number. This is still relatively historically low.
When you're the president and you've got the economy going gangbusters and the poll numbers show your approval rating is through the roof and you say, pass my bill, it's hard to say no. It's hard if you're in the GOP to say no. I know people, a lot of people in the House and the Senate who hated the ridiculous spending levels of this bill and hated a lot of it. And in the end, they kind of felt obligated when Trump, 6 months in, economically, it's killing it.
According to AAA, gas prices are not only cheaper this year, but they're at levels we haven't seen in 4 years. According to AAA, gas prices are down more than 30 cents from this time last year.
When you're doing that, when the economy's going that way, and the president gets up and says, I've got things rolling, pass this bill now so I can keep them rolling, the bill's going to get passed. It is what it is. Look, if you want to feel good about it, there's a lot to feel good about in the bill. If you want to feel bad about it, there's a lot to feel bad about in the bill. Is there something in it for everybody? You can choose how you feel. I choose to be happy because tomorrow is Independence Day, baby. Yeah! Dear Jesse, the not-so-oracle, why were you a Carly Fiorina supporter in the 15 to 16 primaries? Were you a rhino back then, or was she not? I was shocked to discover this. P.S. Would you season yourself before eating, or just quickly get over it? Okay, so I'm not going to be mean to this guy because he seems cool, and he's funny, and it's fine. So this is not me being mean, but be very, very careful what you read on the internet. I have never been a Carly Fiorina supporter. I think maybe I voiced support for her when she was running for something in California, maybe at one point in time, but definitely not in the 15 to 16 primary. I was a well-documented Ted Cruz supporter. I didn't even remember Fiorina being in that primary. And again, that's not an insult to this guy, but here's what happens. And this is so weird for me because I'm so new to all this stuff still. It just seems so new to me. Somebody will either lie on accident or maybe think they read something, and online or Facebook or something like that, someone will say to someone else, wow, Jesse Kelly, I think I remember him being a Carly Fiorina supporter. And someone else, without verifying it, because people don't verify anything, no way! Oh, she sucks! And then he'll go tell someone else, did you know Jesse Kelly supported Carly Fiorina? And then they'll tell someone else. And soon, a complete fabrication like this has taken off, and a bunch of people believe it. Now, I don't stress about it, because I generally don't care what people think about me, which drives Ob insane. But just remember, verify, verify, verify. You listen to me every day. Do I sound like a Carly Fiorina supporter to you? Does that sound like something that is legitimate at all? Come on now. All right. I have one of the more interesting Ask Dr. Jesse questions I think we've ever had in my life. Now, we've been doing this for almost 7 years now, Chris. I don't know that I've ever had one like this. Hang on.
Feeling a little stocky? Follow, like, and subscribe on social at Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show, final segment of the Jesse Kelly Show before I leave you and go celebrate America. And then we'll be back here on Monday to do Medal of Honor Monday and have all sorts of fun and whatnot. So I've got a question. It's very interesting. Before we get to that question, Chris, do you people celebrate Independence Day too, or do you have a separate one? What? I was asking. I didn't know if it was kosher or not. Anyway, happy Independence Day to you, Chris. Just wishing you happy, you and yours, right? You and yours. Now, let's get back to the question. Jesse, short-time listener, long-time dog lover. I have a question about the graves of the three family dogs we have lost. How long do you maintain the area where the family pets were laid to rest? All three are buried close together, but on our property, the brush and weeds move in quickly. Sometimes we throw some yard compost or limbs near that space. I forgot to trim there when I mow the yard. Love the show. Find a way to listen to all 3 hours a day. I thought this was so interesting because... All right, so I'm just going to come out and say it. We love our dogs, do we not? And yes, cats. But we love our dogs. And they really are part of the family. They just are. They become part of your family for a while. And then we lose them. It's horrible. I have buried myself with a shovel in my hand multiple dogs. And when you lose them, it friggin' hurts. It hurts, and you cry, and it's awful, and it's just awful. It's the worst thing. But you bury them, and then what do? You go get another dog. Almost everyone does. We always did it. Usually in my house, my dad didn't like emotions, and he definitely didn't like emotions on other people. So he's not going to cry, but he's so bothered when everyone's sad that he has to do something about it. I have to do something about it. So usually the day we had our dogs die or put them down, he would get in a car. And we're driving down to somewhere to go pick up another dog. That's my dad's way of doing it. That was his nice way of doing it. You go get another dog. Maybe it's not the same day, but you get another dog. And it's not that you forget about the dog you had. You know, I can name all my dogs, Jake and Sam and Hank and all these other. I can name them. I can picture them. And I loved them. But you kind of move on. It's not a person. You know, we love them. They are part of the family, but it's not your child. It's not your mom. It's not your dad. It still is, in the end, a dog. And you move on. I think burying all your family dogs in the same area is a really cool thing. I don't know that you have to maintain that forever. I think you bury them. I mean, if it helps you or the kiddos to mourn, remember mourning is human. It's good. It's good to mourn. Don't ignore that. Mourn. If you're sad, be sad. I was sad last night. I got sad randomly at dinner thinking about my dad, and I was just kind of down and distant, the way Ob would put it. Distant for the end of the night. It's on my mind. That's good. Mourn your dog. I don't think you have some obligation to maintain that forever the way you would your dad or your mom or, God forbid, your child's grave. Now, that's more of, you kind of need to make sure the upkeep is there. Not saying you got to be out there putting down flowers every day, but that's one of those things I don't think ever expires. I think a dog's grave comes with an expiration date. What, Chris? Was that cold? That was nice. I was being nice. Why don't you think that's nice, Chris? Do you disagree? Yeah, that's what we did. We buried him in the yard. And then the grass grows, and then he helps fertilize the yard. And that's kind of what it is. It is what it is. I feel like I'm sounding like a bad person right now. I don't mean to, but I can tell normally by the look on Chris's face when I've said something that's definitely going to rub people the wrong way, which I feel like happens a lot every single hour. So we're definitely going to get some hate mail for that. Not as much hate mail, Chris, as we got about me saying Jaguar. I was talking about the luxury car, Jaguar, and you can't imagine how many of you snobby grammar Nazis emailed into the show. No, it's Jaguar. Look, I'm uneducated, and I'm white trash. I see the big cat on the front of the hood ornament, and it's called a freaking Jaguar, okay? You don't see one of those in the Amazon eating something and say, oh, look at the Jaguar. Somebody passed the tea and strumpets. It's a Jaguar, okay? And if that bothers you, change the freaking channel and get some gold from Gold Co. That's really important. Did I say that right? Gold, Chris? Never mind. Everyone can say that. Gold Co. Get some precious metals as part of your retirement account. Did you know inflation's still really bad? Did you know that as beautiful as you may think the bill is, the national debt is going to continue to explode? That a debt crisis is not likely, it's inevitable. What are you doing to make sure you don't lose your retirement? Let Gold Co. protect yours. That's what I consider it, a retirement protection plan. That's what it is. Here's what you do. Make a phone call. That's it. 855-817-GOLD. Or you can go to jessielikesgold.com. Call them, please. Don't do that thing that most people do. Wait until it's too late. You wait until the bubble pops and you wake up and you look and, oh, looks like I'm going back to work. I don't ever want that. I don't want that for you. 855-817-GOLD or go to jessielikesgold.com. All right? Yeah! What, Chris? That was funny.
And now,
here's a headline.
By go, you know the thing.
Emails
we didn't get to.
Jesse, my son went to buy a new laptop for college and he bought the extended warranty and signed up for the membership. I immediately made him go back and remove them. I think extended warranties, service agreements, protection plans, etc. are a scam and a waste of money. What are your thoughts? As somebody who used to sell these, sometimes. And here's what I mean. They're never as all-encompassing. You know, the protection plan, it's never as all-encompassing as the brochure says. That's a fact. But I have also seen them on large purposes. I would never do it for a laptop either, I should point out. The TV, the laptop, the answer is no. But on a large purchase, if you can afford it without hurting yourself, I have seen those things bail people out. Not all the time at all. Not at all. I'm not saying that. Sometimes they are in fact, I would probably say most of the time, they're a big waste of money. But sometimes they come bail you out. I'm going to leave you now because I have to go celebrate the birthday of America. I hope you do the same. Even Chris is doing it. That's all.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty on Demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
Hey, I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty.
We're Armstrong and Getty.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
How about something about a comedic tone?
We have a winner.
Yes. Listen to Armstrong and Getty on demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.